Success. Failure. Dealing with frustration. What effect does it have on you? These are just some of the topics I'm going to cover with my surprise guest. He doesn't know he's on. Anyway, we're going to hit that music, and then we're going to shock him. Joining me now is Kirk Turnbull of the band QFX, the band that has been moving your feet for over 30 years, and he's here to move his mouth and share with us the stories of his struggles with both weight loss and mental health. Kirk, how are you doing this, well, morning for me, afternoon for you, but more importantly, morning for me? What's up?
I'm doing good, Bruce. Good to be here.
Thank you for agreeing to do this after the blackmail. So, you're this incredibly successful musician, dance artist. You create riots on the dance floor, but you've also had your share of issues. So I want to hear about your bit of a fitness journey and how that's affected your feeling of well-being and self-image as you were going through it. Let's start. What was your highest weight?
Oh, probably around about 100 kilograms, so pretty high. High, yeah.
That would be about 220 pounds?
I think so, yeah. Maybe a little bit more. But I mean, when I was younger, I was always reasonably fit because I did a lot of cycling. I was a professional BMXer, actually, for about 3 years. So I always kept really fit. And then when I started to get in the music industry, I was still pretty fit to start with. But the problem I had was I was in a band with like really young guys. I was mid-20s, just about mid-20s, and they were kind of 17, 18, and they were very much a lot fitter than I. So we used to, I think once the band became well-known and I started to kind of maybe not be as fit as I used to be, they used to always kind of take the mic over, you know, extract the urine from me. And they would say, oh, you know, come on, Pundy, get in here. And I wasn't actually, looking back at the videos I've seen, I wasn't actually that out of shape. But I don't know, psychologically, I think weight has a lot to do with psychology. And it made me kind of self-conscious my whole life after that. I would be struggling. And you were on the road, so you were always munching and eating. And one thing I found was when I drove 300-400 miles a day, do the show and then come home and it's 4 a.m, the only thing that would keep you going would be filling your face with crap and energy drinks and things like that. And it had a severe toll on my weight for a long time. And my struggle was always not eating correctly and not eating at the right times. And the psychology of, you know, these guys are saying I'm fat when probably I wasn't that fat. I wasn't that overweight. But deep down psychologically, I did think that.
One of the ways I gained a lot of my weight, certainly initially, was because I was working a job that I found very, very stressful. Any resolve that I would have, if there was a certain stress point that went over, boom, eating because of the comfort for it. How stressful was being in this band, being around these guys who apparently were to some degree teenage idiots and potentially just assholes as human beings? Bandmates, when you're in a band, the one thing I do know is it's supposed to be a professional relationship, but basically it's sort of like having multiple marriages happening all at once that are one big marriage and then lots of little marriages all intersecting. And it's just this pile of personalities that goes together like cats trying to fight their way out of a wet paper bag.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about me was I knew from the word go that I was the boss. You know, I was the boss of the band. There was never any doubt. I wrote the music. I produced the music. I booked the gigs. I did all the shit that had to be done along with my manager.
You had the bat.
Yeah. So I couldn't drop it. I couldn't drop the ball at any point. I had to stay sober. I had to stay away from drugs. I had to make sure everything worked. I had to make sure people turned up on time. So yeah, it was very stressful. And I suppose that could have had a lot to do with the weight and the anxiety. But at the time, I wouldn't say I was very stressed, but I would say that my temperament was hellish. I mean, I was like a being from hell that got unleashed every now and again when somebody pissed me off. And I regret that to this day. I think, you know, I could have been a much better human being for the first 15 years of my life if I hadn't had as much to think about and concentrate.
Well, in fairness also, you now have years of experience, years. And at the time, regardless of the level of talent you would have had, that was the learning phase. Certainly you wanted to, I don't know if this is the case for you, but I think it is for a lot of people. You wanted to make music. And usually in making music, when you first start, the thought of all the logistical stuff that has nothing to do with the creative process that somebody has to be on top of suddenly is in your lap. It's understandable that you'd have a little bit of a look. I'm doing all this stuff. Can you at the very least just turn up at 5 o'clock so we can get going? And then you've got to be the mother and you've got to track their ass down to get them there. Stuff like that.
Yeah, I was pretty much, I was lucky. I had a partner who she kind of was forced into running the band. And I was kind of like the evil overlord that was watching over things and making sure shit got done. But she got the brunt of it, and I regret that to this day. I wish I'd have been a better human being that way. But at the end of the day, people don't see it. They say, oh, you're a bad tempered asshole. And I was like, well, you know, I'm just trying to make sure that we get to that radio interview, we get to that show, we do that show, we pack the gear up, we get on the road, we drive safe, we get home, et cetera, et cetera. And I suppose that's where my temperament came from. And it took me a long time before I was like, whoa, let's just chill the fuck out and just be chill.
How did you get to the point where you hit that, like, oh my God, I'm really, really a dick. I have to stop being this way.
Yeah. I think it was, I mean, I would say 80% of the time I was probably great. And then the other 20% of the time I was a super dick. I mean, if there was a superhero that was a dick, it was me. I was the guy. But
where's Kirk? There is no Kirk. It is super dick.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was just like, I think about 10 years into the band, I just hit this wall and myself, and it just said, you really need to shake yourself and change. And I did pretty much overnight.
But was there a specific incident where it, like, Wednesday happened and this thing happened on Wednesday, and afterwards you reflected back with like, oh, something's got to change?
Not that I can physically remember, or I think there was just a switch went on for some reason, and it, maybe I'd had a blowout or something, or shouted at somebody, and I was just like, this isn't good, you know, this isn't the way to be, this isn't how human beings should treat each other. And I would say a long time I was, you know, after that, I had a good 5-6 years of just being completely chilled out and the opposite.
Which has its own downfalls by being just totally laid back.
I mean, I was never as laid back as I could have been, but I always still take the job as being, you know, I was there to entertain people and the band was there to entertain people. They weren't there to deal with me being a prima donna or any bullshit. So professionalism was always key for me. And to succeed in the industry, it took me a long time. And I remember speaking to, there was a very famous music show in the UK that we were on called Top of the Pops. Mm-hmm. The guy that produced it was a guy called Rick Blaxo. Really famous TV producer and for producing Top of the Pops. And he came backstage and he was like, I'm really worried about you guys because you're Scottish and the last few Scottish bands have been complete assholes. And he didn't want it. And to be honest, we actually made his life really easy. We were really good. And I think that made a big difference. And that was all due to professionalism. And he hadn't seen that, I think, in a lot of the Scottish acts that came on the show. And I remember he phoned on the Monday morning after the show and said, you know, thank you very much for being exactly the opposite of what I expected. And, you know, I'd have you back on the show anytime. And I was ecstatic about that because everybody behaved themselves. Everybody acted professional. and we all pulled together and did a great show.
Let's talk a little bit about professionalism and how one presents themselves, because at this point in your career, as we talked about earlier, before going on the air, you do a lot of production, you put a lot of things together, which means you are hiring a ton of people, you are working with a lot of different people, and that means finding them, bringing them in, investing money in your time with them. From that standpoint, with a lot of musicians, and it goes beyond musicians, this is just the industry we're talking about because it's the industry you're in, but this goes for almost every other industry in one form or another. A lot of people really don't know how to present themselves and don't understand how to get themselves taken seriously. What are your insights onto presenting yourself in a professional manner?
You know, I always try to keep my feet planted firmly on the ground and treat everybody with respect and understand not everybody's the same, but at the same time, if somebody's hiring you in to do a job, you do that job to the best of your ability and you do it professionally. You don't fuck about, you don't waste time, you don't mess about, you just go in and do the job. And a lot of the time when you're hiring people and you're wanting people to understand that, you know, it's great fun, the shows are great, it's really, the people that you meet are amazing, but you've got to always remember that if you're speaking to somebody that's, you know, in the audience or a crowd member, they're just like you, they just do a different job. You do the same job in a different way. So they may work in a factory and you work on a stage and you do a stage show, but if you start treating them like they're below you or they're not, or you don't respect them, then you're never going to be successful in this business. And I think a lot of people in the music industry and the movie industry I think the music industry and the movie industry are the two worst industries in the world to work in.
We made good choices, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, literally, there's so many assholes and so many people willing to steal your light and steal off you and steal your ideas. It's crazy. But as long as you remember that you're acting professionally, you're doing the best you can, and you're avoiding the kind of people that I'm talking about, from the top of your career to the bottom of the career, you're gonna go up this ladder. When somebody once said to me, you're climbing a ladder, and remember, when you get to the top of that ladder, someday you're going to have to come back down. So be nice on the way up, because when you come back down, the people that you've not been nice, they're going to remember it. And I always say that. There's so many people don't take this industry seriously. I mean, if you want to make a living out of music, or you want to make a living out of films, you be the best human being you can. It's so easy for somebody to say, you know, if you sign this contract and forget about that person, you don't need to pay that person. You know, we can work a contract. You're on a slippery slope. You're never, ever going to succeed in this business, because it just takes one wrongdoing, one bad bit of publicity, and you're fucked. Literally. I mean, I think it's difficult for people to understand that, and the professionalism you have to be at the top of your game in any industry, especially the music industry and film industry, is, I don't know if I'd ever like to be in the film industry, like as an actor or something like that, because I think I'd be scared that I would say the wrong thing. I'd be too easy to piss people off. But I mean, I wouldn't be mean in a bad way, just the way I am.
Usually when people are asking for your opinion, they're not asking for your opinion, they're asking for your adoration.
Yeah. Yeah, they want you to blow smoke up their ass. That's basically, yeah. Whereas a genuine person that's a genuine friend and cares roughly about what you do, they don't care whether you're going to shine them or not. They just want it straight. And I think that's important.
You need it straight, because that's the thing. That's the part of growth. I am a big proponent of learning from your mistakes, being free to fail. But that comes with a couple painful realizations. And the first realization is, if I'm asking you for your opinion, I need to take your opinion, accept it for what I asked for, and then not argue because I disagree with it. So what did you think of my thing? Well, you know, I felt you lost the thread in the story around here. What do you mean I lost the thread in the story? This led here, you just didn't see it. It's like, if you tell a joke and people don't find it funny, you didn't tell a funny joke. It doesn't matter in the various ways in the theorem of how that could have been funny, it would have been funny.
Mm.
It is or it isn't. And if you ask somebody why and they tell you, you don't argue with them. And if you are arguing with them, you need to deal with the fact you need to argue with them, because that's going to prevent you from being able to grow and improve.
Yeah, I think it's very much, you've got to be, you know, I've often send out tracks to fellow musicians and friends and try to get an honest feedback on the tracks, so that, because the funny thing was, when I started writing and producing for PFX, we were out gigging every weekend. You know, we were gigging Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We were doing 3 shows, 4 shows a week, sometimes 5 shows a week. So any music that I was creating, I could play it to a crowd, watch the crowd, see where it worked, where it didn't work, change it the next day in the studio, go back out the next night, play it again. If it was working, keep that bit goes out. So the whole first album was written like that. It was played and tested. Now I don't have that luxury, because I only do, you know, on a good year without COVID, you'll do 30 shows. And now, you know, you're doing 1-2 shows a year at the minute. So you're having to rely on feedback and that from people that you trust. You know, they're going to say, I think that's okay, I think you should change this, or, you know, you should change that. That to me is the best thing ever. It's just somebody just saying, look, your bass drum's crap, you want to change it, that bass sounds rubbish, get rid of that. And then you can know that you can go back to that person the next time and say, you were perfectly right about that, and I take that criticism, and I appreciate those people that do tell it straight.
I think when we originally started talking about this, we were talking about weight. So let's get back to your weight. So First band, beforehand, you were a cyclist and you were ripped. And then out of this band and having to manage the band and have all the responsibilities of an adult when you weren't quite one yet, suddenly, I mean, you were early 20s, but really, who's an adult when they're in their early 20s? A bit of weight loss. Did this become a cycle throughout your life?
Yeah.
Did it permanently alter the way you viewed yourself emotionally?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, it was definitely a cycle. I mean, I would go up and down my weight. I would try every diet, and I would work out, and I'd spend time, you know, I'd have a gym in the house and I'd spend time in there. But I just liked food so much at the time that, you know, I think it was the junk eating that was a problem. I mean, eating good food should never be an excuse for weight. If you eat the right food, the right kind of food, you should never have a problem with your weight. And you should never have a problem with your health if you're eating the correct food. I've been a vegan now for 2.5 years, 3 years. And I keep laughing because I keep saying to people, I'm the world's fattest vegan, because everybody else you see that's a vegan is like a beanpole. And I'm the exact opposite. But I have...
Look, corn chips are vegan, so...
Yeah. I mean, the problem is, it's eating the wrong kind of foods. I mean, I don't eat meat, I don't eat dairy, but I do eat crap. I do eat potatoes and, you know, potato crisps and stuff like that. That's what kills anybody. And, you know, the odd bit of dairy-free chocolate. It's just, you know, that those are the things that really cause problems with people's weight and people's health is all the stuff that's crap for you. And it's all the crap that they put in it. So I spent years eating crap and drinking crap. And I mean, luckily, I was never a smoker. I was never a drinker. So it kind of evened out. But you would see it would be peaks and troughs. You would go up and then you would come down and you'd go up and then you'd come down.
Usually around an emotional event, too. You can probably trace a lot of those back to everything was going well. Then this disaster happened and suddenly the pattern starts over.
I think everybody's life is based around their weight, is based around what goes on in their life. I mean, if you have a happy, fantastic life and you've never got too many problems, you're either going to be one or the other. You're going to be, some people are amazingly happy and eat like fuck and get fat, or some people are the exact opposite. They're really happy and they don't need to eat. And then you get the other side of the spectrum, where there's people that are really unhappy and they put on loads of weight, and then there's other people that are just they're opposite. They can't eat because there's never a kind of happy medium, a happy balance when it comes to staying healthy and staying fit. I think the stresses of life cause everybody to put on weight.
One of the big problems that I feel, and I do bring up on this podcast several times, is the increase of the use of fructose in general products, but certainly with high fructose corn syrup as a replacement for sugars. Now, having a lot of sugars isn't great. But the problem with having more fructose is every cell in your body can use glucose. Every cell. None of your organs, none of your cells can use fructose. The only thing that can utilize fructose is the liver. And what it does is it converts it to fat and stores it. And then, you know, eventually it'll break it down. So if your diet is very, very full of fructose, that is stuff is just mainlining fat. So even when you're not overeating to a high degree, it's, you're still converting half of what, like if it's table sugar, it's one part glucose, one part fructose. You can utilize half of the sugar, the table sugar immediately, and the other half gets converted to fat. Now with high fructose corn syrup, we're talking 60%. So no matter, like, so it's instantly going on as fat, it's instantly creating problems, and it's overworking the liver. So that's part of the reason why in the past 30 years, there's been this overexplosion of people getting heavier, even when they're not necessarily eating more than they were before.
Yeah, I think a lot has to do with that. There's also the fact that there's so much crap in food, to processed food now, to keep it, to give it a longer shelf life, to make it, you know, none of there's far too many metals in food nowadays. And if you look at the products that have got metals in it, and metals are not good for the body. So I think that is half the problem, is what's in your food is generally, even if you're eating reasonably well, I mean, if you're eating farmed organic food, then you've got a much better chance than you have eating, you know, processed food and rubbish. And just, I think that's going to kill everybody's diet. You know, I think if everybody was to get healthier and eat healthier, it would make a huge difference to the world. The problem is, are we overpopulated? Is there too many people? Is there too many people overweight? Is there too many people not looking after their health? I think the answer is yes. There is too many people that are overeating and not looking after their health. And that snowballs everywhere. You know, it has an effect from the bottom right up to the top. So I would say what you're saying about the sugars, yeah, definitely. I mean, personally, I never have sugar. I have honey. If I'm wanting something to be sweetened up, I'll just have a little spoon of fresh honey. Makes all the difference.
As of now, where are you at in your fitness?
I would say definitely fitter than I was last year. And this year is, I would say I'm about 90. Last time I was about 92 and a half kilos. I'm hoping to reduce that to about 30 kilos this year. So, you know, that's probably, what's 100 kilos? You said it was about 220 pounds. So I would say I'm sitting about 190 pounds at the minute. And I think I want to get down to about 130, something like that, 125.
Does your frame, also there's the whole idea of frames, cause, and I have no idea about your frame, because basically what I see are your shoulders.
Thankfully. Yeah, I'm pretty broad. I'm very short. I'm about 5'6", and I'm pretty stocky for my size.
That's why I'm curious about, like, around 125. That seem like,
does that seem low?
It does, because I assume you've got some degree of muscle under there.
Yeah.
So, have you ever done like a DEXA or anything like that to get your composition?
No. I think it's maybe something that I need to actually, I suppose, look at getting some expert advice on you know, where I should be with my body and its weight. And
a DEXA scan would be a good thing for you to do, because what it'll do is it'll tell you what your composition is. So you'll know what your bone, your muscle, and then your fat, because like 125, even at 5'6" is low. Like I would think you'd probably be just seeing your noodle on my screen. I think around, you're probably looking more in the realm of one. And we're talking pounds now.
140, 150. Yeah, 150.
Around 150. Like I would think, I would think 150 would be the low. Like that would be like, okay, now you got to figure out your maintenance pattern. now we're circling the helicopter.
So when you train, I mean, do you spend how many hours a week training at the moment?
Well, at the moment, because I am overwhelmed with all of this stuff that I'm doing, it's been variable, but what it used to be for me is when I was at the height of my fitness, I would work out. And I want to be very clear about this. This is specifically me, and this is not meant as advice.
Yeah, totally.
Because most people absolutely cannot do this. I trained 5 to 6 days a week for about anywhere from 2 to 4 hours. Usually it would come in around 2.5 to 3 hours. And that was practicing all of my stunt falls. That was doing various boxing drills. That was doing weightlifting. That's what I like to do. It's not just like I'm having some sort of body dysmorphia drive to do this thing. It was, I enjoy this. I have fun. So our Saturdays, we do that on Saturday in this time. So on Saturdays, we go to the gym. We do this whole boxing thing, it takes an hour and a half, and then we lift and then get about the day. So at home, I'm now working out. So now I've been incorporating some HIIT training, which is the interval training.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've lost my fitness and I'm trying to regain all of this stuff. So right now the HIIT training probably takes about 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. And in one form or another, I'll ramp that up over the next course of the next couple of weeks. I plan to work out at least 2 times right now, mm-hmm. but the goal is to build it back up.
Yeah.
So in kind of closing this all down, do you have, not just for fitness, but since you are obscenely successful, what are your advice or thoughts that you might have to share with the average person out there who maybe has a dream that they're not pursuing or has a hang up of some kind, be it fitness related, emotional related, or even situational related? What are your thoughts for them?
If you're going to get into music and you're going to get into any kind of the industries that are to do with talent and stuff like that, it's really about enjoying it. You know, don't get in it unless you want to really enjoy it. If you don't really enjoy it, then you don't want to do it. It's like everything in life. If you've got a job and you don't enjoy it, this 99% of the human race will just keep going and doing it because they need the money. And then you've got the other 1% or 5%, whatever it is, it just says, fuck this, I ain't doing that. I'm just going to be happy and do some shit that makes me happy. Even if I've got very little, I'm going to be happy. So if you're going to be in any industry or any talent, you know, do it to the best of your ability. Don't knock yourself if you don't succeed. Don't knock yourself if you don't do it well, because you're just trying. I mean, that's 99% of it is trying. Whether you fail or whether you succeed is unimportant. Just make sure that you try. Everything in life is about trying, whether it's getting out of bed in the morning or not eating that hamburger and having that banana instead. And, you know, everything's about trying and just believing in yourself and being happy with the results. You know, I mean, it's the same with weight. You know, you can be really happy and be really, you know, overweight, but I think people get to a point when the weight gets too much that deep down they might be happy on the outside, but inside they can feel there's something not right. So yeah, just be happy and enjoy what you're doing. And even if you have to do it as just a part-time thing, you know, for the majority of your life, just be happy doing it. I mean, I know some people that have been great talent and amazing songwriters and producers and just life's just taken them away from that which they were really great at. And it makes me really sad to see people that, you know, have got talent and not getting to use it.
I had a friend who wanted nothing more than to be a guitar player. And that was his passion. And the sad fact is he was too afraid to do anything more than sit in his living room and play guitar. And there's nothing wrong with sitting in your living room playing guitar. If that's what makes you happy, what matters is it makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
But he felt the lack of doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
But he never, ever wanted to make the efforts to go out and try. And as I just keep on saying, and it's my favorite thing to talk about because I think it's the most important lesson that I've ever learned, it's not succeed or fail in almost every case. It's degrees. Mm-hmm. Every failure is full of lessons, and there are successes that you just don't see as a success because it wasn't the outcome you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't go down that rabbit hole today. So, Kirk, where can people find you when they are not finding you here?
YouTube, TFX YouTube page, which is TFX Music. We've also got iTunes, Spotify, you name it. You search QFX on any of these sites worldwide, you will find the music that I've produced and written. And if you wanna laugh at some of the videos that we've made over the years, they're on YouTube. And you know, we're really trying to open up to the rest of the world, which is great. Because I mean, when I started off, you know, getting anywhere outside of your hometown was a task and a half. Now you can be anywhere in the world with YouTube and Facebook and Spotify. It's a great source, but unfortunately, as Barry will tell you, it's not as easy as it looks.
Nothing in life is as easy as it looks.
Yeah.
As for me, I am the fittest fat kid you know, the guy on the podcast you're listening to. And you can find me at all the social medias, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, my own Facebook page, and they are all at Fittest Fat Kid. If you have a question or a concern, if you have a issue with your fitness you've no one to talk to, you can talk to me. And you can talk to me at hi@fittestfatkid.com. I do respond. And I have a webpage, and that is www.fittestfatkid.com. So whoever you are, wherever you are, and whatever you're doing, hold yourself accountable, but do it with kindness and understanding. And I'll talk to you next week.